Father, we thank you for today. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Father, speak to us. Let your name be glorified mightily over us. And Father, let your spirit, O Father, convict and transform us. Father, we pray that even as your word comes mightily unto us, Father, let there be less of me and more of you. Let your name, O Father, be exalted. And Father, let your word illuminate our path. Before we leave, O Father, grant us direction for every situation, and open our eyes to see you more. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. So today our sermon is centered on the book of Judges. How many of you know where the book of Judges is? The book of Judges is in which of the testaments? The New Testament? The Old Testament. The Old Testament. Very good, very good. And the Judges speaks of the time between when Israel had leaders and the time when Israel had monarchs. So that period where there was a transition from leadership to kingship, where it seemed as though there was no setting leader, the Lord raised people to deliver the people of Israel. And the sub-theme I am giving this sermon is assigned to deliver. Assigned to deliver. And it's amazing that we see the cycle of disobedience resulting in a cycle of oppression. And in that sense, the Lord raises up men and women to deliver his people. And it points to the ultimate deliverer. And who is the ultimate deliverer? Jesus Christ. It points to Jesus as the ultimate deliverer. And also gives us a sense of understanding that in Christ, the Lord can use you. The Lord can use you as a blessing to your family, to your city, and to your nation. Amen. And the key verse is Judges chapter 2, verse 16. Can we read together? Sansa, go. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. In today, in this very season, it's very important to understand that oppression is ongoing. Oppression from the demonic kingdom is ongoing. In families, in the lives of individuals, and even as we read through the book of Judges, even as we review the judges in Israel, let us have this at the back of our mind. The Lord raises people. They may not be perfect. But the Lord raises people who have given themselves unto him, and he uses them to deliver his people. Right from the time of Israel till date, the Lord is still delivering his people. So let's take some few facts from the book of Judges. The first point I highlighted is this. Following the death of Joshua, the Israelites settled in the promised land, but failed to fully drive out the Canaanites. Inhabitants, leading to a cycle of idolatry and oppression. So when the Israelites were moving into the promised land, the command of the Lord was this: wipe out everyone in the promised land. Drive them away. Because one of the most dangerous things is the sense of learning by association. That is why it's important to be careful those you associate with. So in the light when God was telling them, drive away all the inhabitants of the promised land of Canaan, he knew that if they did not do that, there was going to be a mixing of values. There's going to be a mixing of understanding, and at the long run, they would fall. But guess what? What did the Israelites do? They didn't listen. Taman Timbuton. They did not listen. And they decided to go ahead. And it came with
series of consequences. They went after the gods of other tribes. They forgot about their Lord. And it led to a series of oppression. The second point highlighted, the judges of Israel were leaders raised by God to deliver the Israelites from oppression and to administer justice. The role of a judge in Israel was multifaceted, encompassing military leadership, judicial authority, and spiritual guidance. I went on to also highlight, the judges were not kings nor prophets. So the judges came from the tribes of Israel, and the Lord used them to liberate his people. That is why I always say this. Do not take for granted where the Lord places you with reference to your family. Many people, I realize, they are very shy of their family. Some people don't even want to be associated with their family, because they do not like some things that are happening in their family. But the reality is this. The Lord is intentional about where he plants you. And when the Lord plants you in a place, he knows that you can be that instrument of change. But the beginning of that change is appreciation of where the Lord has planted you. Amen. The judges were not kings or prophets. They served as instruments of God's justice and mercy, calling the people back to covenant faithfulness. They were foreshadows of Jesus, the ultimate deliverer, and a reminder that the Lord can use us for his every good work. It's very important to understand this. Even as the Lord used them, these were not perfect people. And I want you to understand this. These were not perfect people. And when we look at the idea of the judges, it even gives us a wonderful assurance of Jesus Christ. Because unlike the judges, Jesus is perfect in every way. That is why Jesus is our prime example. That is why Jesus is the prime example of imitation. It's good to want to be like Paul. It's good to want to be like Timothy. But primarily, we are all to take after the seed of Christ. Not just with reference to identity, but in action. Amen. Going forward, we want to understand the idea of Israel's unfaithfulness. So if you have your Bibles, take your Bibles. And if your Bible is on your phone, I want you to put it on flight mode so that whilst you are reading, you don't see message from your best friend. No. If you are using your phone, make sure there are no distractions. Amen. So we are going to look at Israel's unfaithfulness, spanning from Judges chapter 2. Starting from verse 10, and I read, "And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." One of the most important things why the devil fights against family is because of the passing on of faith. When you look at the storyline of Timothy, even as Paul writes to him, you see that the faith that he expresses was passed on from his grandmother to his mom, even onto him. That is why it's very important as a family to ensure that the Bible is taught in the family setting. One of the reasons why XICF, we try as much as possible not to overcomplicate your week by having meetings every single day of the week is so that you can spend time with your family. It's very important as a husband to teach your children. It's very important as a father to teach your children. It's very important as a mother to teach your children. It's very important as a husband to teach your wife. very, very important. Because through the generations, the word of God is handed down. Amen. But then, when you find a people who do not know their Lord, what happens? There is a break. There is a cut. At that point, you will find children who do not know the Lord. You will find people who don't understand what their fathers did for the Lord. May that not be our story. But in Israel, we see that because they were not diligent in teaching the word, what happened? A generation arose that did not know the Lord. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Once you do not know the Lord, evil is your next companion. That is why when you are raising children, the best you can do is to give them Jesus. Give them Jesus and trust that when they grow, they will not depart from it. In the story of Israel, we see that because generations forgot, they began to seek and they found Baals. And they abandoned the Lord and the God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. This is the reason why the Lord was telling them, drive every outsider from the land of Canaan. But they didn't. So the Lord allowed them to stay. And as they dwelt together, they began to influence them. My brother, my sister, my father, my mothers, be encouraged to choose good friends. Be encouraged to build good associations. As a young man, choose your friends carefully. As a young woman, choose your friends carefully. Don't choose people who do not know the Lord. Don't choose people who do wickedness. Don't be happy around people who are given to alcohol. Your best friend is a drunkard. So in Ghana, we have an adage. I think this is famous across the world. It says, show me your friend, and I'll show you your character. Your friends enjoy partying, hard partying, partying from dawn to dusk, from dusk to dawn. Your friends enjoy gossip. As a woman, run away from other women who enjoy gossip. Every time they see you, they want to talk about someone else's marriage. As a man, run away from men who encourage you onto womanizing. Encourage you onto alcoholism. Choose friends that encourage your faith in the Lord. And one of the things I would want to encourage you, pray for the Lord to bless you with good friends. Pray for the Lord to bless you with good friends. Pray for the Lord to bless you with good friends. So we see here, because of wrong association, they went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Verse 13, they abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers, who plundered them, and he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. These people were people that offered child sacrifices. They killed children to please God. And the Israelites decided to be like them. And the Lord punished them. Sometimes the punishment of the Lord reveals His mercy. Sometimes when you are going through a situation, when you are going through a situation as a result of your disobedience, it's actually the mercy of the Lord. I remember in the Philippines, Sister Teresa, do you remember? We went to the juvenile detention and we met these young men who were in gangs. And as I spoke to one of them, it just dawned on me. If this guy was outside, he would be dead already. The reality is this. For that particular young man, the prison was God's mercy for him. So even in the punishment of the Israelites, we see the Lord's mercy to draw them back unto Himself. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm. And the Lord warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. But does it please the Lord to see His children in distress? Let's continue. Still in Judges chapter 2 from verse 16, the Lord raises up judges. So we see here, then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed and the commandment of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and He saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So they, in essence, would seek the face of the Lord as long as the judge was alive. And as soon as the judge died, they would turn back to their evil ways. Doesn't this speak similar to us? When we put up certain behaviors when people are watching, doesn't this speak similar to us? Who under the cover of darkness do all manner of things that are not worth the sacrifice of Jesus. The Israelites were no different from us today. And even as we read through, may this be at the back of our heads. God is not seeking seasonal obedience. God is seeking consistent obedience. God is not seeking partial obedience. God is not seeking obedience when it feels right. God is not seeking obedience when it makes you look good. God is seeking obedience through the thick and through the thin. When people are watching, when no one is watching, God is still seeking obedience today. So in this next session, we are going to be looking at every judge. We are going to be looking at every judge. And I pray that even as you take notes, you can take pictures, and when you go back to your rooms, you can do personal studies. You can review personally and learn so that you will be deeply blessed in that regard. This is just an overview, so I might be going very fast. So the first judge raised by the Lord for his people was Othniel from the tribe of Judah. And Othniel was very, very courageous. We see him being mentioned with Caleb. We see him taking down cities. And he's noted as the first judge of Israel. We see him dealing with the oppressor, King Cushan of Aram, who oppressed them for 8 years. And in his time as judge, the Israelites enjoyed peace for 40 years. But after he died, guess what happened? They went back to do things that were not good. And as they did those things that were not good, another oppressor came upon them. The king Eglon. The king Eglon is described as one of the fattest people in the Bible. He was so fat that mobility was a problem. A reminder for us who decided at the beginning of the year to go to the gym twice a week, but have forgotten. Go back to the gym. Ehud, raised up from the tribe of Benjamin, assassinated King Eglon, the king of Moab. After 18 years of oppression and 80 years of peace followed. Ehud sought audience with the king. And he removed a knife hidden behind his right thigh and pierced King Eglon so deep that they said the knife disappeared. And as Eglon was shouting, his servants thought he was in the toilet. So they stood back, heard him shouting, and eventually he died. But after Ehud also passed away, Shamgar was raised. Shamgar was a farmer. And this can be seen in his weapon of battle. He had an ox hook. I don't know how many of you know what an ox hook is. An ox hook is something that is used to pull the ox, sometimes with a sharp end, to at least inflict a bit of pain to the ox to get them moving in the right way. And with that ox hook, he killed 600 soldiers. With that ox hook, Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox god. The years of oppression and the years of peace enjoyed under Shamgar were not mentioned. But the fact that the Lord could raise a farmer is worth noting. Then we see Deborah. I think Deborah is one of the most famous judges we can find because she's a woman. As I read through the book of Isaiah, I stumbled across Isaiah chapter 3 from verse 3 to verse 12. And Isaiah prophesying said, because of your disobedience, the Lord is going to raise children as your kings, and women are going to lead you. According to God's plan, women were not supposed to be in war. And in essence, in that dispensation, when they saw women leading men in battle, it was more of a disgrace than an honor. So when Deborah rose, it was to affirm the disobedience of Israel. It was to affirm that Israel had gone far away from the Lord. And in that sense, we see Deborah rising in courage, a mother of wisdom. She reminds me of a woman I met in India. I visited a city in India, and in India I met a church that had close to 40 members in the congregation. And out of the 40 members in the congregation, two of them were men. Only two were men. And when I requested to meet them, the two men, only one came, reeking of alcohol. And then when I spoke to the woman, she said, "The Lord called me to serve, and I will do it with my whole heart." Serving sometimes with her child at her back, she served. And the beauty of that is to let us know that the Lord can use anyone. And if you say you will not stand up to what the Lord is calling you to do, someone else will stand up. And in Revelations, the Bible warns, "Behold, the Lord comes quickly, and his reward is with him. Be watchful that no one takes your crown." Be very mindful of what the Lord has entrusted you to do. For on that day in heaven, Jesus will wipe away tears of people who would be in heaven. But you will see people taking crowns, and you will know that that crown was meant for you. But because of laziness, because of disobedience, you could not. Deborah rises up from the tribe of Ephraim, a prophetess, a leader in battle against Sisera. King Jabin and General Sisera oppressed the people of Israel for 20 years, and 40 years of peace ensued. So as the king went, as Deborah arose and called for men to rise up in battle, the general said, "We will not go to battle unless you go with us." Deborah decided to go with them, but he said, "Because you decided that I should go with you, victory will not come at your hand. Victory will come at the hand of a woman. And as a prophetess, it happened just as she said." The king Sisera ran away from the battle, found herself in the tent of a woman named Jael. And he found rest in the court. Jael gave him milk to drink. And after he had drunk to his full, he fell asleep. And Jael took a peg from the tent, put it upon his temple, and drove the mallet through it, killing the king, fulfilling the word of prophecy. And after the 40 years of peace, then arose Gideon, because they went back to disobedience. Gideon rose up, a coward like no other, hiding away from his enemies. In a wine presser, there he beat his wheat. The wheat that is supposed to be beating in the open, he was beating wheat in the wine presser because he was afraid. And guess what? When the angel appeared to Gideon, he said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." Sometimes when God sees you, he doesn't see you in your weakness. He sees you in the strength he made you. When God is speaking to you, he doesn't speak to you in your deficiency. He speaks to you in the strength of Christ. And we see Gideon, a man of valor, rising up and leading 300 men to defeat the Midianites. After 7 years of oppression and 40 years of peace ensued. And then after that, when Gideon died, they went back to the cycle. Even me as a parent, if I say stop it for some time, I get tired. Imagine God. How many times did he have to tell the Israelites, don't do this, don't do this? That is why they say God is not a man. Because if God was a man, the Israelites would have been dead. All of them would have perished. But his patience endureth. After the death of Gideon and they went back into destruction, we see the rise of Tola. When I saw Tola, I wanted to say Omotola. But I saw Tola from the tribe of Issachar, the judge after Abimelech brought peace to Israel. The people he dealt with were not mentioned, but we see that the span of his judgment lasted for 23 years. We continue. We also see Jair. Jair from Gilead. He had 30 sons and ruled 30 towns in Gilead. It is said that in his tenure, they experienced so much peace over the 22 years of his tenure. But after Jair died, they went back into disobedience. And when they went back into disobedience, Jephthah arose, also from the tribe of Gilead. He made a tragic vow after victory. And that tragic vow was this. Father, if you give my enemies into my hand, as I go back home, whoever comes out first, or whatever comes out first of my house, I will give as an offering, a burnt offering unto you. And after the Lord had delivered victory, as they were dancing and going, he gets close to his house, and his only daughter walks out of the house. But then I question, did he really know the Lord? Because if he knew the Lord, he would know that the Lord is against the sacrifice of humans. The Lord is against the sacrifice of people. Some people say he didn't kill. Some people say he devoted his daughter to the temple. But when scripture says a burnt offering, we all know what it means. That is why I say the judges were not perfect. But yet the Lord used them to deliver his people. You may not be perfect, but the Lord is calling you to bring transformation to your family line. The Lord is calling you to be different than your father. The Lord is calling you to change that cycle of divorce in your family. You may not be perfect, but the Lord wants you to end that cycle of drug abuse in your city. In Christ, the Lord calls us to be men and women of peace. You may not be perfect, but the Lord wants you to be the peacemaker in your family. You may not be perfect, but the Lord wants to use you to break something that the devil has held on in your family. So, Jephthah dealt with the oppressors, the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Ephraimites, and they enjoyed 6 years of peace after 18 years of oppression. Then came Ibzan, the Zebulun, and Elon, the Zebulun. Ibzan had 30 sons and 30 daughters. His wisdom brought peace for 7 years. Elon, is that the same as Elon Musk? Elon, also of Zebulun, judged Israel during a peaceful period. And his tenure lasted for 10 years. Abdon of Ephraim had 40 sons and 30 grandsons. His tenure lasted for 8 years. Samson, the worst of the judges. It's amazing. Someone who was told what you should not do, but exactly what they told our brother not to do. That was what our big brother enjoyed to do. Do not drink. That is when he decided to drink. Do not touch dead bodies or dead things. That is when he decided to eat honey from a dead lion. But this man was a mighty man. But there is one thing about Samson's story that I do not understand. At a point when he lusted after a woman not in the tribe of Israel, and his parents had not agreed to that, the Bible records, but they did not know that God had permitted it to be so. Very strange. And then fast track to Hebrews 11. We see the fathers and mothers of faith. And guess whose name is there? The guy that was chasing after prostitutes. Someone say, hey. What we may think is a wasted life is never wasted in God's eyes. Be careful who you belittle. In your office, in your class, in your family. Be careful who you belittle. The person you may think has nothing good to offer the family may be the one the Lord would use. Just like they said about Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? May that be said about you. I pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus that anyone that has looked down upon you, may the purpose and assignment of God concerning you come to pass by the grace of God. May the Lord cause you to fulfill that which was written about you in the books. May the Lord cause you to do that which has been ordained for you to do. And at the end, may your life bring glory to the Father. Amen. So we see Samson from the tribe of Dan, known for his strength, fought against the Philistines. 40 years of oppression was brought to an end, and 20 years of peace was established. But one thing I want you to understand, the consequence of sin will always be death. And the fact that Samson is mentioned in the Hall of Fame does not legitimize the fact that disobedience is good. That is why I said this earlier. The judges were not perfect. But who was perfect? Who is perfect? Jesus Christ. So who are we supposed to imitate? Jesus Christ. Amen. So what are our major takeaways from today? Our major takeaways from today's sermon is this. The period of the judges highlights the consequences of Israel's disobedience and the faithfulness of God in raising deliverers despite the people's unfaithfulness. Judges 21 verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. the Lord raised deliverers, even in the face of unfaithfulness. Because God is faithful. God is faithful even when we are not faithful. When we disobey and we lie, God is still faithful. And His mercy endureth forever. But I want to be quick to add. I've said this over and over again. The Lord is merciful. But one day, His mercy will give way for judgment. God is merciful. But one day, if you persist in sin, you will run out of God's mercy. Because when you stand condemned in hell, you will now begin to gnash and wail. Those who were secluded to darkness, they were described in two ways. Those who were crying, they are crying because they know that they didn't do the right thing. They are crying because they regret. But then there are those who will be gnashing their teeth. How could you? How could you do that to me? How can God put me here after all that I did? Do not be fooled. The Lord will not be mocked. Do not be fooled. The Lord will not be mocked. Amen. Matthew 1:21 states, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their..." This verse encapsulates the mission of Christ as our ultimate deliverer. Who is our ultimate deliverer? Jesus Christ. So if you hear my voice today, harden not your heart. If you hear my voice today, harden not your heart. You have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Harden not your heart. You have not accepted Jesus. You have not confessed His Lordship and His saving grace over your life. Harden not your heart. You may have confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, but you are not living right. You are not living to the glory of God. Harden not your heart. It is not late. Jesus still saves, and Jesus will save you. The final point, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, in Christ, we are the workmanship of God prepared for good works. In Christ, we are assigned as light to darkness. In Christ, God uses us to quench the works of the devil. Understand this. You are saved to save. You are blessed to bless. The Lord has called you for a purpose. Don't miss out on your assignment. You are not born again just to seek money. Money is not everything. Don't let money be your God. Desire to fellowship with the Lord. And as you fellowship with the Lord, you will begin to see through intimacy with Him what He has called you for. And when you find it, desire to fulfill it with all your heart. So the Bible writes about David. After he had served his generation, he was laid to rest. May that be said about you. After you have served your family, only then will you be laid to rest. After you have served your nation, only then will you be laid to rest. After you have served your children, conclusion. The book of Judges teaches us the faithfulness of God even in the face of disobedience from his children. It makes us understand that God delights in the deliverance of his children and establishes Christ as the ultimate deliverer. In Christ, God can use us to deliver our families, our friends, cities, and nations. One of the greatest points of deliverance today is the sharing of the gospel. I'm going to say that again. One of the greatest points of deliverance today is the sharing of truth. Tell the truth when it matters. Share the gospel when it matters. Do not be shy. Do not be afraid. Bow down your heads and let's pray. And you are going to pray and you are going to ask for the grace of God. Say, Father, grant me grace. Grant me grace. Father, grant me grace. Father, grant me grace. Father, grant me grace. Father, grant me grace. Grant me grace unto obedience. Pray. Father, help me to walk in obedience. Pray for yourself. Pray that the Lord should teach you his ways. That the Lord should stir in you a heart for him. Even as with Ezra, after Ezra had studied the word, he lived the word, then he began to teach the word. Ask the Lord for grace to teach his word, to share his word with your children, with your wife, with your family. And you want to pray for grace. And you are asking the Lord, Father, strengthen me for whatever assignment you have given me. Especially within my family. Strengthen me. If you are here and you know that the Lord is calling you to change something in your family, but you are struggling, I want you to stand to your feet so that we pray for you. You know that the Lord is calling you to change something in your family, but you are struggling. You know that this thing is destroying the families, but you are struggling. I want you to stand to your feet and we pray for you. Oh, Father, behold your children who are standing before you. Father, behold your children who stand before you, asking for grace, asking for strength. Father, O Lord, grant them strength. Grant them wisdom. Grant them understanding that they will be able to do that which they have to do. Father, O Lord, grant them the humility to forgive, humility to bring peace. I thank you, Jesus. I pray for you standing in the mighty name of Jesus. May the Lord birth a testimony in you. May the Lord use you mightily. I pray that whatever plan that the Lord has for you, whatever thing for which the Lord puts you in your family, I pray that it will be accomplished. And I echo the words of Zechariah chapter 4. Not by might, not by power, not by your strength, but by the Spirit of the Lord. You will bring the change in Jesus' name. Divorce shall end in your family. Husbands will serve their wives well.
Poverty shall end in your family. The gospel shall spread in your family. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.